The Pistons are going to be without yet another young player for the rest of the season. We'll come back and talk to you guys about Isaiah Stewart, his third season, and how much it hurts having him miss the rest of the year in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel, official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. So later on in the podcast, we'll talk about this Charlotte Hornets game. A rough watch, a rough game from the Pistons. We'll talk about some takeaways from that game a little bit later. But first, the biggest news out of Detroit today is obviously the fact that Isaiah Stewart is going to be out probably for the rest of the season. Got a medical update today. It says, after an MRI and evaluation from Pistons team doctors on Tuesday, Isaiah Stewart has a left shoulder impingement reevaluation set in 3 to 4 weeks, which basically ends him for the season. And Casey basically confirmed when he was asked about it, he probably is going to be done for the season. It's tough. It's tough for Stu to miss the rest of the season, obviously, because you don't want to see anyone get hurt. And you like guys to be healthy. That's an obvious one. But specifically for a guy like Stu, there's a few other guys in the team with the exact same situation. But for a guy like Stu, who this season was so important for his development, and you've had such a story of two different seasons with him, that you really would have liked to see him close the season and see which one he really is closer to. Because right now, I feel like I'm basically going to review Stu's season here, but I feel like at this point, do you feel better about Stu now than you did 12 months ago? I think so. I think you feel a little bit better about him. However, again, you really wanted to see how he closed this season, because he's played 50 games this year, or he's going to finish the year playing 50 games. In the first 25 games of his season, he was shooting 38% from deep on 4 attempts a game. Okay. Really damn good. In the last 25 games he played, he was shooting 26% from deep on 4 attempts a game. So obviously that's a tale of two different seasons, and it kind of correlated, his downfall in shooting correlated with his shoulder injury. He's been dealing with it for a while. He missed a lot of games. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He missed 8 games due to this injury. I don't know if he re-aggravated the same shoulder, but I know he had a shoulder injury that kept him out. For a minute there, he played through it, tried to play through it, and then he missed some games again, came back, and it looked like he either re-aggravated it or hurt a different shoulder in a game against Toronto. So it's tough for that to be the case, because you really need to find out with Stu is can he be a stretch big? And going into the offseason, I don't know if the Pistons have an answer for that right now. I think they feel better about the possible answer right now than they did last year, because at least they have some sample size now of him taking some volume threes where he was successful. But then you also got another 25-game sample where he was really struggling, couldn't hit any shots from outside. So going into the offseason, it sucks for the Pistons, because Stu, out of all the bigs for the Pistons, he's the one that has like the best chance of sliding next to all of them. We talked about this on the last episode. I think the Pistons have their big man rotation of at least the near future, like at least the next 2 years, I think. That doesn't mean they can play together. That doesn't mean you have the combination that you want of the future. I think they have the guys in the front court that they want, but they've been trying to find out the right combination. I don't think James Wiseman and Bagley is it. I don't think Durin and Bagley is it. We didn't see Wiseman and Durin at all tonight, but I don't. It's hard to envision how exactly Wiseman and Durin could get it working on offense. Stu is the only one that slots in next to all of them because he's figuratively supposed to be a shooter, and he's easily the best perimeter defender out of all of them. So he should be able to hold his own on the perimeter against fours, who are really like threes in today's NBA. So that's the toughest part about it, man, because you wanted to find out, can Stu, because even though he's defensively, he's really good defensively, like I said, he can switch on the perimeter. The biggest thing with him by far is his shot, because he has to provide spacing at that four spot. And I feel like, again, I feel like the Pistons probably feel better about it right now, but I don't think you can say you have an answer to whether he can actually be a stretch big or not, because he only played 50 games, and half of those 50 games he wasn't really good shooting from outside. In the other 25 games, he was really good. So it's tough to figure out which one it is that you want to believe in. Along with that, he did take another step down field goal percentage-wise. He still struggles finishing around the rim. He doesn't have the greatest hands. He still struggles a little bit with screening. So it was a little bit of up and down season for Stu. Overall, I think the best way to summarize Stu's third season in the NBA is that you feel better about him now than he did last year. You see some things that you'd like to see from him. You saw him flash a little bit of the off the dribble game when guys closed out on him. It wasn't always perfect, but you saw it in flashes. You saw him make the right read, the right pass on some drives every now and then. Again, it was a little awkward sometimes. Sometimes it didn't work out, but it was flashed in there. So you saw the flashes. You saw some things that you could probably be like excited about and be like, oh, I wonder if that's something he can actually build on and actually be a part of his game. But then you also got the inconsistencies. You also got some of the same struggles, same flaws that he's had throughout his career. And you still have, I feel like you're still kind of left with the question of, can he be a legit stretch big? So it's tough to evaluate his third season. So that's why I'm just going to end it with, I feel better by him now than I did last year. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see how he does in the offseason training. And we'll see how he comes in the next season. Can he build upon what we saw this year? Can he build upon that outside shooting? Can he build upon the flashes we saw from him taking guys off the dribble on closeouts? Can he build upon making the right reads on those dribble drives, being able to make kickouts? Can he build upon some of the reads in the short roll when he does roll to the rim? Can he build upon some of that stuff that we saw in flashes this year and next year? That's going to be the big thing for him. But either way, it's tough to see him go down for obviously the team and obviously for him. It's tough to see him go down, but obviously we just hope that he gets back healthy. He returns 100%. He gets healthy as soon as possible, and he gets started in his offseason. Hopefully he takes a little bit of a break offseason-wise, but hopefully when he gets back into doing some training in the offseason, he's completely 100% healthy, and that shoulder is no longer bothering him. So sucks to see this happen with Stu, man, but it is what it is. The Pistons were hit with a nasty injury bug this year, man. Just that absolutely nasty injury bug. It's tough. It's just, I don't know what else to call it, but tough. You hate to see it, man. But coming up, the Pistons did play a game against the Charlotte Hornets. They lost 113-103. There were some rough things that happened within this game. But I guess we'll start with the positive coming up, and we'll talk about how James Wiseman and Isaiah Livers looked in this game and some things to take away from there. And then we'll move on later in the podcast of some of the things that did not go very well and some of the things that players struggled with in this game later on. But first, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we don't know what we want or why we react the way we do until we talk through things. BetterHelp connects you with licensed therapists who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those experiencing major trauma or anything to the extreme. It can be for just the most minor thing. You just need to talk through it with somebody. Well, BetterHelp is there for you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with licensed therapists and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnNBA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnNBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so James Wiseman in 27 minutes against the Charlotte Hornets, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 8 of 12 shooting. Played really well in this game. Was a plus 13. I know everyone's been really looking at his plus minus every single game. Plus 13 in this game, and he had a block. The thing is with James Wiseman, now that Stu's out, that I'm kind of going to be watching for, is if they are going to play him and Durant together. And Casey kind of spoke to this before the game, that Wiseman's going to have to be the one that obviously shows the ability to space the floor some. Yet we're not really seeing him take any threes at all. So I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know when they plan on, like, you know, asking him to take threes, start putting a priority on him to try to take some threes to see how it goes. But yeah, I mean, outside of that, I thought he did a really good job tonight on the glass. He had 13 rebounds. That's one of the areas that he's really struggled with since joining the Pistons. And really throughout his whole career, if you talk to some Hornets people, or not Hornets people, some Warriors people, something that he struggled with this entire career, rebounding, knowing where to box guys out, being strong with the rebounds, using his physicality and his size to help him on the glass. And we've seen that for the Pistons so far, that he struggled with that. But in this game, he did a really good job of it, 13 rebounds. I believe he led the entire game. Yeah, he led the whole game in rebounds in this game. And he also was extremely efficient offensively. You can continue to see that he has incredible touch around the basket. You continue to see that he has a really nice face-up game. And he's just, again, I'm going to say this probably like 1,000 times over and over. But he's just a physical freak, dude. He can do stuff. The way he moves just shouldn't be normal at all. And it catches defenders off guard, like when he moves, when he drives the basket off the dribble, when he's able to do a kind of Euro step kind of thing, when he's able to spin away and be as agile as he is, it catches defenders off guard. And you're seeing that on display over and over and over again for the Pistons. Also, you're starting to see him and Jane Ivey get a little bit of a connection. I believe they had two oops today, Ivey to Wiseman, obviously, in the pick and roll. That's good to see, because James Wiseman can be that lob threat. And we haven't really seen many lobs this year for the Pistons from their guards, or their, obviously from their bigs, but from their guards throwing it up to their big men now that Cade's been out. And we're starting to see a little bit more of it with Jane Ivey and James Wiseman. So that's always cool to see. I thought it was a really good game from James Wiseman. But like I said, if they're going to play Wiseman and Durant together, I'd like to see him start to take some threes, at least like two, like 1 to 2 a game, just to see how it looks. Because if he doesn't take any threes, there's no way they can play him and Durant together. And you have to at least see if that's something that's compatible. So I'd like to see them do that. Another player that played really well. No, I'm not going to talk about Kodjo, because Kodjo doesn't matter. The fact Kodjo got 12 shots up in this game is crazy. The fact he played 24 minutes in this game is honestly crazy to me. The fact that Jane Ivey got benched early in the third quarter for Kodjo to play the entire third quarter, basically, is crazy to me. You can't tell me it's a meaningless game in March and that they don't care about winning, but then you also bench your fifth overall pick, your future star, to play a veteran to help you try to win. Are you trying to win, or is it a meaningless game? Because if it's a meaningless game, all you need to be worried about is developing. So I don't really know why they benched Jane Ivey. He wasn't the only one out there that was struggling to play defense, or lacked, I guess, effort defensively. So I don't really know why he was the one, only one taken out for real. I would have played him out. He finished with 32 minutes still, because he got to play the whole fourth. He didn't have a good game, but still, I'm not saying he had a good game. I would have let him play through it, though. I think that's all that matters now for the rest of the year is Jane Ivey. So I would have just let him play through it, but that's just me. The other player I was going to talk about that played a really good game was Isaiah Livers. 13 points and 6 of 9 shooting. Only 3 of his shots were from deep. Only 3 of his 13 points were from deep. He showcased a little bit in the mid-range, a few step-back mid-ranges. There was one play when he took the ball off a pick-and-roll and kind of, you know, got his defender stuck in jail and then rose up for a mid-range jumper. Some really impressive stuff. I don't expect that to be a part of Isaiah Livers' game, really, I don't want to say at all, but I don't think it's going to be something he regularly does. But it definitely, for a guy like him, who's going to be a primarily a three-point shooter for whatever team he's on, the ability to attack closeouts, take maybe one, two dribbles in, and then rise up from the high post area and hit a three, or not hit a three, but hit a pull-up midi, that's viable stuff. And we saw some of that tonight. Again, I don't think you're going to be asking or seeing him to take step-back middies when you're trying to win and when you have your actual players on the floor like Cade and everyone's healthy next season. I don't think that's something you're ever going to really see him be asked to do. But again, the attacking closeouts and hitting a pull-up midi, that's pretty viable stuff, and you saw him do that a lot tonight. It was definitely interesting to see. I think he continues to play well and continues to show why the front office is so high on him. He had 5 rebounds. He fights on the glass. He's good defensively, all that stuff. We already know all that stuff with Isaiah Livers. I'm just happy that we continue to see him make shots now with his increased role. He got to play 31 minutes tonight. He played 37 minutes the last game, 38 minutes the game before that. So he's getting a chance to go out there and play. He's getting a chance to go out there and showcase what he is. In the last 3 games, 17 points against Portland, 9 points against Washington, 13 points against Charlotte. So happy for Isaiah Livers. I want to see him continue to close out this season extremely strong because I'm really high on him and what he can be for this team. And I think you're seeing that as the games go on. Both those guys played extremely well for the Pistons tonight in their loss against the Charlotte Hornets. Before we move on, I just want to say this real quick. Kelly Oubre, again, just with 27 points against the Pistons, blowing kisses at them the entire game. Please sign him in the offseason. Just sign him in the offseason. Could he help the team? Yeah, I think he actually would help the team. But sign him in the offseason so I no longer have to witness a guy blow kisses at the at the Pistons while they're blowing them out as they're destroying them. Like, please, I can't. Look, I love trash talk, and if he was on our team, I'd absolutely love it. But I swear to God, that has to be the most disrespectful celebration in the NBA. I swear to God. I don't know any – even Steph's look-away threes, like, that's not as disrespectful. Getting kisses blown at you after every three takes, it's not like he's only making, like, 2 shots a game. Like, out in route to 27 points, he does it. It's the most disrespectful celebration I think I've ever witnessed against the Pistons. And it happens all the time, dude. It pisses me off so much. So please sign him in the offseason so I don't have to witness it happen to the Pistons no more. Please. I'm begging you, Troy Weaver. Please do me a solid. Get him on the team. I don't want to deal with it no more. But anyways, coming up, Jane Ivey did not have a great game against the Charlotte Hornets. There was one specific area that he really struggled with. I want to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, FanDuel Sportsbook. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, that's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers and threes drained. The player prop I've been continuing to tell you guys to take the over on, Jane Ivey's assist. He had 6 assists tonight. He continues to be a better playmaker as the season goes on. He just had 13 assists, then he followed up with 12 assists. That's a player prop that I really like. I think you guys could take advantage of. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So Jane Ivey, 5 of 17 in this game, 2 of 7 from deep. Don't really care about that. Not too much of a big deal to me that he had a bad shooting night. Not too big of a deal to me with that at all. It is what it is. Stuff like that happens. Sometimes you're just not hitting your shots. It is what it is. I'm not too concerned about that. I don't care. What I do care about, though, is the fact he had 7 turnovers tonight. That's pretty bad. That's probably the worst he's done all year. 7 turnovers is bad for anybody. Like, that's horrific. You never, ever want to see 7 turnovers. And I think Ivy's biggest issue, he has two issues he has with playmaking that he has to improve on. And I want to say this first before we even talk about his struggles, is that I want to make sure everyone understands he's improved greatly as a playmaker. And I've liked the improvements we've seen him as a playmaker, as a passer with his vision. I've really liked the progressions we've seen through the whole year. So I just want to make sure we get that out of the way. That doesn't mean he doesn't have things he needs to improve on still. But I do want to make sure everyone understands, I'm not saying he didn't get better. I think he's gotten a lot better. We've talked about it a ton. I think he's gotten a lot better with it. But two areas that he still struggles with when it comes to playmaking. One is unnecessary flashy passes that end up in turnovers when they could just be easy assists for him. He had, I think, two of those tonight to Marvin Bagley that were he tried one no-look and one was his little one-hand flick pass that he does, and both resulted in turnovers. I really think he needs to cut down on those and just make the simple pass. I think it would help him a ton with his assist-to-turnover ratio. And then the second thing that he really struggles with, and I don't, it's a good, this one's actually a good problem to have, in my opinion. It's the fact that he has vision, but he tries passes that are just too risky of passes and it would have to be damn near perfect for you to place if you actually are going to throw them, which this is what this tells me. It tells me he sees things, which is really good. You want your point guard, you want your guard, whatever, whoever operating the offense, you want them to be able to see things. So in one area, you actually feel kind of cool with that because it's like, okay, he sees this. He's looking for things. And if he sees the slimmer of space, he's going to try to hit it. That's good in that perspective. But also he needs to understand there's some that you just can't fit. And you have to be more selective with your passing. And I believe that's damn near like 5 of his 7 turnovers tonight was him just forcing passes that weren't really there. And they were fast break buckets for the Charlotte Hornets going back down. So that's the two biggest areas I think Jane Ivey has to improve on with his playmaking by far. But again, the second issue actually is kind of cool with me somewhat because it showcases that he has vision, that he's looking for guys. He's just trying stuff that maybe he shouldn't try. So it's a kind of somewhat of a good problem to have. And overall, I've been really happy with his playmaking improvement. I think that's something that he'll improve on as he plays throughout his career, as he gets more reps and watches film. I think that's something he'll continue to improve on. The last thing I want to talk about in the podcast before we wrap this up is Eugene Amaruyi continues to impress me a ton. He played 27 minutes tonight, 3 of 6 from the floor, 1 of 1 from deep. This is a dude that wasn't shooting threes a lot at all before he came to the Pistons. On this 10-day contract, he's now hit 2 threes in 2 games for the Pistons. He continues to be a dog defensively. He's very strong, very lengthy, very active. He did have 5 fouls in those 27 minutes. He's very active, high energy. He impresses me, man. I don't know if he's actually going to last with the Pistons, but he strikes me as a dude that probably should be on an NBA roster somewhere. Don't know if that means a bad team or a 15th man, 14th man on a good team. I don't know. But he's one of those players that I watch, and I'm like, that dude can be in the NBA somewhere. I don't know where. Doesn't mean he's going to have a big role somewhere, but he should be in the NBA somewhere. I for sure believe through 2 games I've seen from him, that I think that looks like an NBA player. So happy for him and how he's playing. I don't know if he's going to be with the Pistons, but he's doing a really good job right now of showcasing his talent, not just the Pistons front office, but through the rest of the league. I've liked what we've seen from him on this 10 days so far. I'm interested to see what they do with him. But that's all I've got for you guys today, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We're free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I will see you guys later. Stay safe. Go Pistons, and peace out.